It's good to see everybody this morning. Need to quit using my hand a little bit here. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at the book of Mark this morning. And I've been telling people for a while that, you know, this pandemic and all the social unrest that we've experienced this last year, it has certainly made me think about eternity a little bit more. And when we were singing the song, "When We All Get to Heaven, We Will Sing and Shout the Victory," I think that for us Christians, for so long, we haven't had to suffer through anything. And I think those songs actually lost their meaning with the American church. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to know what the victory is, because we just come through a time of great suffering together. And we're going to do it because of Jesus Christ. So when I think of those songs, I remember when I was in Indiana still, and I'd lost my job. And I've told you this before, that I lost my job because I served Jesus Christ, is what it seemed like to us anyway. Because I had a different way, and I'm not saying I'm so holy, because you all know me personally, so I'm not even going to try that. But I had a different way about me, and it put them off to me. They didn't want me around. And so I had a wife and two kids, and you know, it was my birthday. I think I've told you this. It was my birthday. Remember Frosty the Snowman? Happy birthday. That's all that was going through my mind after I lost my job. And I just kept thinking, I'm 28 years old, and I've got a wife and two kids. What am I going to do? And I was picking up some odd jobs and doing some different things. And up home, we have a maple syrup festival. And so what I did is I worked for about 3 weeks over there, helping them get stuff ready for the maple syrup festival. And I remember as I was working, I would have to sing these songs to myself, because it was such a struggle to get through those times, because God, he doesn't fail us, but he does scare us half to death, doesn't he? And so I was really worried about what was going to happen, and it was very humbling to have lost your job. And the only thing that I could do was to sing stuff like "When We All Get to Heaven" or "Glory to His Name." You all know those songs, and those were the things that helped me get through the day. I think it's a good reminder to us, because we're living in a time right now where it's not very popular to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And with all that's been going on, we might be able to acknowledge that maybe we're thinking about things in terms of, it is maybe very possible that the Lord could be about to return. And those are things that everybody thinks of. Even when I wasn't serving Jesus, I used to think about those things. And I would convince myself, well, I've got more time to get myself straight. Yeah, anybody ever do that? I've got just a little bit more time. And if I had a little bit more time, maybe I could get myself straight with the Lord. And it didn't ever come, did it? It never happened until the Lord shows up in your life. But I remember thinking that there was, maybe time is getting short, and I didn't understand what that meant. And, you know, these days now, I certainly do. It's very unpopular if you have a view that is going to support what the Bible says. People are going to be against you. I've been telling you for weeks now, most of America would like to know what the truth is. The reason we don't know what truth is anymore is because we rejected truth. We rejected Jesus. We've rejected what God's will is for us. Most of the people don't even know what truth looks like anymore. We just look at it from our own perspective and try to judge it from that. But God has laid truth down. And he's laid it down in his word and in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And I think about someone who's in a situation like I was in Indiana. And when I was, you know, those guys wanted me to go do things with them, and I would tell them no. And they thought I was probably being one of those judgmental Christians and not wanting to do the things that they wanted to do because I thought I was better than them. Who knows what the purpose was, but we certainly wasn't. We just were not connecting. And I think of people this morning, that one of the things that we have to understand is that if you follow Jesus Christ, suffering with him is actually what leads to victory. And so when I think of people, I might think of maybe a single mother who's following Jesus Christ. And most of us, y'all have jobs and you go to work and you work with different people, and sometimes y'all take breaks with each other, and then the conversations start. And if somebody knows you're a Christian, most of the time, people may steer the conversation to a controversial issue. Maybe it's something that is sinful that the world is saying is not sinful anymore. And what they're doing is they're intentionally checking you to see what your viewpoint is. And so what happens then is you have a big struggle on your hand because you have a choice to make. Is it possible that God has me in this role on purpose and so that I can tell them the truth? Or should I just keep my mouth shut and stay out of trouble so that I don't lose my job or my income to support my family? And these are the things that happen. As a teacher's assistant at Pickens Middle, I can tell you that students have to go to school. If they're spending any time in their youth groups, if they're going to church, once they leave their church, they're coming into the classroom where there's nothing of Jesus Christ in the classroom. And what happens is whatever they were taught on a Wednesday or a Sunday, which should be taught on a nightly basis in the home, by the way, whatever they were taught, it's suppressed because they have to exist in an environment that's hostile to Jesus Christ. And what's tragic is they don't understand that suffering with Christ is actually what leads to victory. Now, this seems like a crazy thing for me to be talking about because for so long, we in the American church, if we could be very honest, we've had it made. And we haven't suffered. We haven't experienced any persecution for following Jesus Christ. But I suspect it's on the cusp now. And so what I want you to do this morning is I want you to hear the possibility of what God's will is for your lives. Because what God's will is very different than what we're hearing on a regular basis. Many times we think that God wants us to have it made. We think that God wants us to have everything that we want. We think that God wants us to be happy. And I'm going to tell you all, that's not the case. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to take a look at the book of Mark. And if you remember last week, one of the things that I told you when we started in chapter 1 of Mark, because it's Lent season, we're supposed to be sacrificing and giving things up, maybe fasting. If you're doing that, you know that it's a long week. Thank God for Sunday because we get to eat or do whatever you wanted to do that you gave up. But one of the things that we realize is this is a time of self-denial and penance, and we are supposed to remember what Jesus did on our behalf. And so when you look at the book of Mark, as we've gone through that first Lent passage, we remembered that I told you that the book of Mark was written during the time of the Christian persecution in Rome. Peter and Paul had just been martyred because I suspect they kept telling the truth when the world didn't want to hear it. So they kept telling the truth in a hostile environment, lost their lives. And last week I pointed out that even in the first chapter of Mark, one of the things that you should have picked up on is that as the book was circulated to the Christians who were being persecuted by Nero, is that even John the Baptist, the book of Mark even says he was arrested. And you remember what his problem was. He kept telling Herod, the king, he said, listen, it is unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. He was telling Herod the truth. And it got him into a place to be put in prison. And he lost his head. And so when this is circulating during the time that Nero is actually using Christian bodies to light up the night sky in Rome with fire. And so when you get this, you better believe that you're reevaluating whether or not you should continue to follow Jesus Christ. Because certainly your neighbors are going to be against you because one of the things that most people do not want to do is suffer, especially not suffer with Christ. And so what I want to do is I want to read this to you. And this comes right after the moment where Peter says, I believe that you are the Son of God. When Jesus asks, who do people say I am? He says, I believe you're the Son of God. Now this, if I was a director in a movie, this is where everything would be all roses, because this is the climax of the book. And the next verse that we're going to start into, if you've watched any movies at all, you know that when things start to go south, it's usually pitch dark and there's a rainstorm. Y'all know how this works, right? Because that signals the person watching the movie that things are getting ready to get rough for the hero. And that's exactly where we are with Jesus. And this is actually right after he fed 4,000, he opened the eyes of the blind, all of this stuff. And it was amazing because even his disciples say, well, you know, some people think you're some of those guys that's already been dead and that's come back. Maybe even John the Baptist this quick. They didn't even understand what the resurrection is. But Peter said, I think you're the Son of God. So let's look at this. And I'm going to read verse 31 to 38. This is what it says. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus, listen to this, listen closely. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So we've been picking up this whole year. We've gone through Matthew. We spent some time in Matthew. We spent some time in the book of John. We started in Genesis. And then we talked about the idea that Jesus said he's going to return. And those of you on Wednesday nights, we've gone through the book of Revelation. And one of the things that we should be picking up on is even in this passage, Jesus is talking about his return. Did y'all see that? He's talking about it. So this is an eschatological passage that means last days, and it's telling us this is stuff that is important. So I want to show you this morning, the first thing I want you to see, suffering for Christ leads to victory because it was God's will that Jesus suffered. I'm going to tell you something. This is difficult because I've had people, I can remember when our church's name was Smith Chapel and we were still in the other building. And I remember one time we had a lady come to our church, and I remember her struggling with the idea because I talked about the blood of Jesus Christ. It really bothered her. She couldn't, I suspect she couldn't somehow connect the idea that our good and loving God would actually punish someone who did nothing wrong, had he was sinless in our place, and he would pay for our sin. It doesn't make sense. In fact, I'm one of those guys, I like fairness, and I can't stand when something isn't fair. And what God has done by punishing his Son in our place, it isn't fair, not from the human perspective, right? And so she struggled with that, and she didn't come back. It was one of those things that she learned something about our Heavenly Father that she didn't understand. And here's what she did. To me, she rejected it. But you and I, we don't have salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that, right? You all get that. But look at what Jesus said to his disciples, especially after Peter tries to talk him out of this actually happening by not giving himself for our sin. I'm just paraphrasing. Jesus said, the Son of Man must. And I've been telling you, when you see that word must, what this is, it's a signal to the reader that what's happening is God's will, his divine will, is in play. Now, we Wesleyans, we like to operate in this sense of freedom where we have freedom to make our own decisions and choices, but this is the one place where Jesus is telling them, I must suffer. In fact, I must suffer many things. And not only am I going to suffer many things, and when I think of that, I think of humiliation. And let's just say it like that. I must be humiliated. And not only am I going to be humiliated, but I'm going to reveal myself, and I have been, because you've been seeing the miracles and the signs and wonders that I'm doing. No one could do those things except God in the flesh. No one else could do these. I've been doing them. Not only am I going to be humiliated, but I'm going to actually be rejected. I'm going to be rejected by the teachers of the law, the chief priests, the elders, the very people who have my Father's word at their disposal. They're actually going to recognize that it's very right to think that I am the Son of God, but they're going to say no to me. It's stunning. And I'm trying to put myself in the mindset to think that this is God's divine will for an innocent person who happens to be his son, his firstborn. Then he says, and we're not even alerted to the fact that it's going to be death on the cross. Then he says, not only am I going to be humiliated and I'm going to be rejected, but I'm actually going to be killed. I'm going to tell you something. That I don't think that grows a church. I really don't. I don't think that that is something that humanity or the world wants to hear. But remember what I said. The world rejects Jesus Christ. The world hates the church because the world hated Jesus first. The world doesn't want to hear something like that. But Jesus said this. He said, but in my suffering, now the paraphrase comes. In my suffering, it's going to be what leads me to victory because I'm going to rise again. We all get this, right? We all get, that's why we're here. We know that Jesus Christ conquered death. We know that he won victory on the cross. He won victory over death. Now we're starting to get somewhere. But keep in mind, you're in the Roman church and you're seeing your friends and your families lose their lives because of following Jesus Christ. For the simple fact that they would not say, Caesar is Lord. They said, Jesus is Lord. So if you're in that church right now, you're starting to hear something. You're starting to hear something because, you know, I tell you, every summer for a long time, I remember, do you all remember that youth rally faith? Remember how everybody just run to the altar, the teen camps that would go on, and I mean, those kids would be down there, and it'd be such a beautiful thing, and we would just, I mean, we would just talk about the Spirit of God. He just got a hold of these kids, and he did a wonderful thing, and he did. And then they go home. The youth rally faith just stays as it is. Youth rally faith. And nobody thinks of anything of the cost of it except for what Jesus did. And apparently he wanted to do that. Right? He did. But we also know that he had to. But we don't think anything of that cost. And we just go about our lives and most of the time, the kids, they just kind of fall out of church. They kind of fall out of their relationship with the Lord, and they just go about their lives, don't they? Because we never counted the cost. Because suffering with Christ is something that people don't want to do. And if you're going to stand with Jesus Christ, it's going to put you at odds with the very people that you do life with in the world, just like the students face at my school. Or maybe the single mother who's trying to stand firm in her faith, but yet she knows that if she gives a wrong answer to something that the church has recognized as a sin for 2,000 years, she may lose her job. I want to show you what Jesus has to say about this. Look at this. Suffering for Christ leads to victory because Jesus invited everyone to pick up their crosses and follow him. So you heard what he said. It's interesting in our text because Jesus is rebuking Peter. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about how Peter must have loved Jesus. Just to show you how this goes. Peter must have loved Jesus, and Peter, like any normal human being, was going to say to Jesus, no, you're not going to give your life like that. You are not. We're not going to let you go and be killed. And then Jesus looks at his disciples. I can see Peter standing right here, and he hears that, and he looks at his disciples, and he says, for his disciples to hear, get behind me, Satan. Now, he's not coming down on Peter as much as he wants to teach something, right? He's wanting to teach something. So I've been talking to you about this word must. And this word must means it has to happen. And so one of the things we learned last week was that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, demonstrated he's the Son of God because he did the will of God. And so what Peter's doing unknowingly from the position of his love for Jesus is he is siding with the enemy of God who doesn't want the will of God done. Y'all following what I'm saying? It's real tricky how it happens. It's real tricky because sometimes we find people that we love who sin and sin greatly. And, you know, these days we're not supposed to say something is sin because we get in trouble, don't we? Or sometimes we might say, I love that person enough, I don't want them to commit sin, but I'm not going to offend them. Y'all got to be careful with that. Whose will are you doing? But look at this. He says he invited everyone to pick up their cross. This is how we know God wants, he's put out the general call to anyone who would respond, right? He says anyone, and that means anyone. Anyone who will deny themselves, they must. Did you hear that word again? Anyone who would follow me must deny themselves. So now you're back into that divine will word again. That means for us to become a disciple. He spoke it to the disciples and the crowd because within the crowd, you're going to have people who are disconnected from God. You're going to have people who have rejected God. You're going to have the Romans and all the Gentiles within that crowd and the Jews. And here's the problem. Jesus said, anyone, including my disciples, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Because if you're going to go with Jesus, you must resign yourself to the fact that you're going to suffer. That means for me to deny myself means that I have to put aside the things that mean so much to me, the life that I have anticipated. Maybe if I'm the single mother with children to support, not getting any help. You see how hard of a bargain this is. Maybe that means if I'm committed, I've understood that I have to pick up my cross and maybe offend people by saying, what you say is wrong because the Bible says so. But see, the problem is that that could put you in a position I found myself in. Now, I thought they were going to give me a raise the day they let me go because I was working so hard. It's almost comical when I look back at it. They called me into the office. I thought, they're going to give me a raise. I just so blindsided. I was told I was no longer an employee there. This happens. And it seemed like a small thing then, but here's the problem. It's becoming widespread now. You know, the church for so long has been able to do what the church wants, and we've even had respect we didn't even deserve in a lot of ways. Y'all know that, right? We had respect from the community that we didn't even deserve, but we've had a good time, but the time to pay the piper may be right around the corner. And here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to sort people. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it by those who understood the divine will of God that we must deny ourselves and suffer with Christ. That's how he's going to do it. But what you see in our world today is a lot of people who are, again, I say it every week and I'm doing it on purpose, because they think Jesus is real, they're good. I can tell you, God is judging your ethics as well, because your ethics reveal what you actually believe about Jesus Christ. How you treat someone, how you treat an enemy, all of these things. You see, if somebody does wrong to me, my inclination is to do wrong right back to them, because that's the way the world says is supposed to happen. But if I'm going to deny myself, I understand that I must not give wrong back to someone who does wrong to me. I'm supposed to give good back. Very hard to do, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm an angry person. I'm angry about, you remember the Avengers? They asked the Hulk, how did you turn into the Hulk whenever you want? It simply says, I'm always angry. Well, I get that. I'm always angry. So I'm always having to work and deny myself. Do y'all see what's happening here? Because I know the Word of God says, I must. Look at the last thing I want you to see. Suffering for Christ leads to victory, because those who avoid suffering with Christ will lose their souls. Just taking the text, right? Did y'all read it with me? Did y'all see that in there? There's a large portion of the church will deny that today. Large portion of the church. But yet here it is in the Word of God, and we have to do something with it. So Jesus is saying, basically, looking at it so that we don't miss it, he says, look, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world? 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I heard someone speak on a subject like this, I thought maybe they're just trying to speak against greed, right? They're just trying to speak against greed. And that's the way I limited it. I just said, well, you know, we don't want to spend our lives pursuit in chasing after money and all these things, because not all of us are going to have the money. We just need to be satisfied with Jesus. But it's so much deeper than that, isn't it? Because if I'm in that Roman church again, I've already heard that I must suffer with Jesus Christ, which means God isn't going to somehow do a massive miracle and make it stop. It's not going to stop. And Jesus is saying, I have to suffer. Now he's telling me that, listen, he says, this is what's going to happen. He says, if you avoid suffering, if you chase after this world because you want to achieve some sort of comfort in this world, you don't want to be unpopular, he says, you're going to forfeit your soul. He said, it doesn't do you any good to gain the world's love. It doesn't do you any good to gain the world's approval. It doesn't do you any good to gain the world's wealth, because it's your soul that is at stake. Which then reminds us of what Jesus has said elsewhere. Don't be afraid of those who can kill you. Be afraid of those who can kill you and take your soul, right? Destroy your soul. That's what he said. So what Jesus is saying now is, if I avoid it, I'm finding myself in a big decision now, because here's the problem. If I'm in a situation on purpose, because you see how that word must is in there? God's divine will is in operation, especially with those who are his children. Are you picking up on that? You're finding yourself in a position that may be very uncomfortable through the day, and you may find yourself in a position where if it could even come to the place like, If you know what's being talked about in the break room, you may actually find yourself not going to the break room because you're avoiding the issue of suffering with Christ. And then he goes so far and he says, you know what? He says, those who are ashamed of me. Now, I'm just going to take you back to Matthew, especially in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, when Jesus is talking about the law of reciprocity, the golden rule. And what we learned is that those who don't forgive, they don't receive forgiveness. You remember that? Those who don't give mercy, they don't receive mercy. You get back what you give out to others. This is really the general rule. So what Jesus is saying now, especially to this Roman church who may have seen family members taken out of their homes for speaking the truth, who may be lighting their street corner right now. I know it's very graphic, forgive me, but this is, it's about time the church gets ready for what could be coming. When they see this, they are being hit with a verse like this that says, if you avoid telling people the truth so that you don't have to suffer, then I will be ashamed of you when you stand before me on the day that I return. Did y'all hear that? There's a lot of silence in America today. My fear is that the American church is afraid to lose the things that the world has gave them. And I suspect this might be linked to the reason why people are trying to find out what the truth is, because the church is no longer speaking the truth, because we don't want to find ourselves suffering with Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. If I have to suffer with Jesus, so be it. I believe the part that he says, you might gain the world, but you forfeit your soul. There's a part two coming, right? We have everything this world and this nation right now to teach people the truth about right and wrong and how to love one another, and yet we don't get the job done. Church, you need to listen to me when I say this. You are here on purpose, and you are in this time on purpose, because during this time, Jesus' representatives are going to be the ones who speak truth into this situation, even at the cost of their livelihoods and possibly their lives. How else will God redeem our people? You and I are in this church building because of those who suffered with Christ years and years ago. We have a chance at eternal life. We should not take it lightly, and we should take our place to understand this is what God's called us to. It might be a struggle to think that God's plan involves suffering and humiliation, especially crucifixion of an innocent person, his son. But I can tell you that's exactly what he did, because he's demonstrating his love for the world that rejected him. God didn't reject them. He wanted to love the world, that whosoever would receive his son and the suffering that his son went through on our behalf would turn from their will to his will, they would have eternal life. Y'all see how that works. And you might be somebody this morning who's thinking that that might be just a bit too much, that because we're American Christians, it's owed to us, we're entitled to have salvation. Y'all need to hear it. Did you hear how it was worded? Our human will is in play here. What you choose to follow is going to determine where you are in eternity. You might be somebody that thinks that you can give your heart to Jesus, but you don't need to really suffer if something is going against you. Maybe you're thinking, well, I can go ahead and keep my head down, and I don't have to go through all that arguing and all of those difficulties and possibly lose my job. But I'm going to tell you something, that that's not going to be good enough, because you must deny yourself. You must. If you're not denying yourself this morning, you need to challenge yourself with where we are in this passage, especially during this time of Lent. You need to be challenging yourself. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm reading it to you. You have to challenge yourself to do what God has called you to do. You follow Jesus, even when it leads into uncomfortable territory. Because if you don't speak healing into the place where you are at, if you're at your place of employment or in your neighborhood, who will? It has to be you. The Spirit of God is in you. He will lead you. He will help you if you have received Christ as your Savior. And if you think that you're fooling God by not avoiding the topics, by avoiding the difficulty that you might find yourself in, you're not. You're not. Our time of rest and peace is when Jesus returns. It's not now. It's not now. Our time of peace, all of these things that we sing about when we all get to heaven, do you see why when we sing that song, when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory? It's because we're not into the complete victory right now. We still have struggles. But when we get to heaven and we haven't been ashamed of Jesus, we won't struggle anymore. What would happen if the American church started getting back to the roots of the gospel? Notice what Jesus said, suffer with me, for me, and because of the gospel, because of the truth, the good news. What would happen if the church started to say, we don't mind that we are suffering, in fact, we embrace it. Our goal is to give the good news into a world that is destroying itself because of the lack of good news. What would happen? What change do you think would take place? And how many believers right now think that they just need to keep their head down and wait for Jesus? Do you really want him to come back and find you being ashamed of him? And minding your own business? I hope he comes back and catches me in trouble because I've told the truth. Boy, Pickens County would change quickly, wouldn't it? If we did this, the upstate, it'd almost be like a wildfire. And it feeds into the rest of the country and the rest of the world. But God's people have to be willing to suffer with Jesus to find victory. It's the only way it works. So right now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'll tell you this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and especially one that I've shown you from his word this morning, if you don't have that type of relationship with him, now is the time. Maybe you thought you had a relationship with him, but you realize you've been living for yourself, doing your will. This is where you say to him, Lord, not my will, but your will. Help me to crucify my desires and replace those desires with your desires. Help me to no longer be concerned with human concerns, but with your kingdom concerns. He will do it. Let's pray. Father, we've heard your word this morning. We are probably letting it percolate through our minds right now, Lord. Maybe there are some who are just thinking about what's coming up next in the next 15 minutes. But Lord, I just simply pray right now, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that has struggled with anything that I've said, Lord, would you help them to read it for themselves, Lord? Would you speak to their hearts? Father, would you help each one of us to recognize the difficulties that lie ahead for your people who speak your truth in an unpopular time to be doing that? Help us, Lord, to recognize that we continue to do so. We're not here to make peace with the way the world is. We're here to show the world what real peace is by demonstrating it and speaking it into their lives. Would you give us a shot in the arm, Lord? Spur us. Help us. strengthen us. And Father, we will just simply thank you, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. God's people said, amen. Sound on before. I want to do a shout out to Tori, Logan, and Rory. They're, even though Rory's not born yet, she's still on her way back with Tori, and they're traveling today. We love you guys. Also, tell the family in San Diego, the Davises, we love y'all, and the Glaus family in Georgia. Love you guys. Miss y'all.